facts about your life struggles. You're going to have struggles throughout your life. The proof of that is you're alive. Struggles bring you closer to God. Now, let's look at it this way. What if in going through life, you have no struggles at all? Would you grow? Could you thrive? Would you get to a point to where you would back away and say, well, I don't need God. I don't have any problems in my life. The struggles that you are going through are there for a reason. God will not overload you. He will not cause so much to go on in your life that you can't deal with it. Therefore, you and I need to face the struggles within our own individual life, and everyone will have a different struggle. Nobody goes through a struggle exactly the same way. We all go through it differently because we are individuals. We are individuals created in the image of God, and God says you're going to have problems. But then he lets us know, but don't sweat it, I'm with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. It doesn't matter how great the struggle in your life, your Savior, Jesus Christ, is greater. He says to you and says to me, I am there with you always. I, God says, am in control of your struggles. He won't allow anything to come in our life that we are not able to bear. Now, some people run from them. Tell me how that's worked for you. Think of your own life and think of how many times you've just given up. Well, I quit. I can't do this. When you don't face life directly, head on, you will falter to the point and then you become angry. And I don't understand this, but this is the way it works. They become angry with God. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Instead of saying, Lord, show me direction in my life that you're wanting me to take with these struggles that obviously you have allowed to be upon me. What can I do with it, Lord? No, we get mad at God and quit church. We get mad at God and say, well, he didn't help me when I needed him. God always helps you, and you always need him. Amen. There will never be a point in your life or in your whole spiritual, eternal life to where you won't need him. God is our Savior. He sent his son because he loved us. Do we have that clip? I haven't called for it for a couple of days. John 3:16. Let's stand together. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. God decides what he's going to allow to come into your life because he loves you. You're special. See, that struggle that you're facing won't work on anyone but you. That struggle that God has allowed in your life, he allowed there for your growth. He's allowed there for your strengthening. He's allowed there for you to be able to feel his everlasting, ever-loving arms surrounding you. There's a reason for that struggle. Coronavirus has no authority with God. Coronavirus is going to do a lot of damage, already has throughout the rest of the world. You all do realize that in Hardin County, we do not have a reported case of coronavirus. We do not have it in Hardin County. Will we have it? More than likely, we certainly will. Because we are a traveling county all over the world. But we're also a county with common sense. And we know that God has allowed this to take place. You know, I don't know the reason for all of it. I don't know the reason for swine flu. I remember us handling that quite well. I remember handling all those situations throughout history quite well. Multitudes died. Multitudes upon multitudes did not. Don't know why. But we will help those who are down. We will be there for those who can't help themselves. The struggles of life, maybe it's for you, Christian, that you have a friend out there and you know that they're struggling big time. They came to your mind. They didn't just come there. They came there for a purpose. Pray to God and ask His direction how you can help that individual that has come to your mind. Do you ever think about doing that? Think about others. Lift others up. Love others. Be ready to serve others. Jesus is a servant. Folks, Jesus is still serving you. You know that food you're going to eat after a while? That you didn't invite the pastor to come with you to eat? That food you're going to eat after a while? God's serving it to you. Do you know all the stuff that is in the grocery stores? God's serving it to you. All the stuff that isn't, you didn't need it anyway. Use some common sense in life, but always call on the power of Christ. Amen. For that's the greatest common sense you will ever use. The Lord says, I am in control of your struggles. I've decided what to allow in your life. He didn't cause it. He's decided what to allow in your life. Proverbs 19:21. We may make a lot of plans, but the Lord will do what He has decided. You know why? Did you not hear John 3:16? Because He loves me. I can make all the plans in the world. God's going to use His plan because it's the perfect plan, and it's a plan that's going to be best for me, my family, and all those who know me. But what's my responsibility again? To follow His plan, His word. The wisdom of God far supersedes the thoughts or the self-proclaimed wisdom of man. I'm in control, God says. I see the struggle in your life. You got more struggles in your life that are going to affect you a lot greater than coronavirus ever will. You hear me? You have loved ones that you truly worry about, that you truly lift up to the Lord in prayer. What is the virus in your life? As Brother Randy pointed out at the beginning, sin's the greatest virus that you will ever be confronted with. It's killed multitudes, so many, such a multiplicity of individuals throughout history, they can't be counted. What killed them? Sin. How many people get so upset about sin? You know, the cure for sin, Jesus. It's always that name, Jesus. Well, yeah, but doesn't that sound trite? Don't sound trite to me. I know Jesus. I know my struggles in life. I don't know your struggles. But if you know Jesus, I know that your struggles are going to be very much taken care of. That was fact number one. Fact number two is this. Struggles produce endurance. They will, but you have to be involved with the struggle. You know, I have a weight room in my home where I used to lift all the time. My wife tells me I need to get back to doing something. So in that room, I'm letting my grandson now handle it down there. And I feel so much better after he works out. But that struggle in my life is there. I got to get back to it. I look at that machine and I think, man, that is one awesome machine there. Hunter, get on it. But you see, I need to get involved with whatever that struggle is, correct? So therefore, as God looks at us, he says, struggles produce endurance. But you got to get in the race. You're going to have to build your lungs. You're going to have to build up your strength. James 1, verses 2 and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Now, I'll admit, I've never got excited about laughing about the troubles that come my way. I've never thought about, thank you, Lord. I just hit my hand with a hammer. I missed the nail, even missed my thumb and hit my whole hand. Oh, praise God for it. No, I've never done that. As I've told you before, I may have spoken in tongues a little bit after that happened, but I've never done it that way. But God says, I want you to be awake, and I want you to pay attention, and I want you to build endurance. It is an opportunity for joy, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So therefore, as I grow in endurance, I get more strength from more endurance. I build more endurance. I just keep going. I keep moving. I keep feeling the power of Almighty God. Now, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, he came down in the body of man, his son, to live in us, to walk with us, and to let us know he'll never cease that walk. People say, well, Jesus isn't here anymore. Oh, yes, he is. For every individual that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is in you and he is here. Amen. And he hears our cry. He sees our struggle, and he recognizes that the more we face that life, face those struggles, the greater our endurance. So what does he bless us with? Greater struggles. Lord, is there going to be an end to this sometimes? You know, I just worked through this one. You've blessed me and carried me through it, and then all of a sudden, there's a mountain. Never climbed one that tall before. Lord, there's a wall right in front of me. And God said, I placed those walls in front of you, Larry. Sure, those walls will be built. Larry, that's not your business. It's not your job. Let me tell you what you need to do, Larry. When I tell you to look at that wall and I tell you to take off running, it's your job to take off running. It's my job to make a hole before you get there. That's the God that watches after us. Build that strength, that endurance, because there's going to be more walls in your life. But the same God will make another opening. Lord, I don't understand this. Neither did any of the old prophets understand. Yet they followed God, the scripture says, blindly. Not knowing where they were going. What were they doing? Trusting the one who was leading them. That's blessing. That's a joy. Fact number three, endurance produces trust. Endurance produces trust. I'm here, Lord. I've taken off running. I sure do trust, Lord, that hole will be there because I'm running pretty fast. Listen to Scripture. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. When you're under stress, are you not also brokenhearted? Oh, how many times have you been brokenhearted? How many people do you feel have broken your heart? That hurts, doesn't it? That emptiness that you feel on the inside when betrayal comes. That brokenness. Well, what does brokenness do? It breaks you. It will pull you down. And here's what's such a blessing here. Those struggles, that brokenness starts to pull you down. But you remember, you have been practicing endurance. At some point of those anchors of whatever they are pulling you under, there's that same Savior in the boat saying, Peter! You know what Peter said? Save me, Lord! And we see the hand of Jesus reaching down, grabbing Peter. You know what he said to him? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Say, Jesus isn't the only one walked on water. Peter was doing just fine. You know what happened? Took his eyes off Jesus. Looked at the storm raging all around him. All those struggles in your life. When you pay more attention to the struggles in your life, instead of paying attention to the Savior, you're going to start sinking. Well, what do I do, preacher? I'm there. I just told you. Jesus, save me. Call on the name of the Lord. Hey, listen. I can handle him saying to me, why did you doubt? Because I know he's saying it in love. The world doesn't love me. The world does not love you. The people that don't know Jesus don't care. And those, a lot of the ones who know Jesus, not getting around fellow Christians enough to build that relationship, to build the endurance. What happens in life? Every time somebody gets angry about something, they quit. They'll either quit a family, they'll quit a relationship, they will quit God's house. They just quit. Jesus never quit on me. I'm a weak human being. I'm a Marine, but I'm a weak human being. You see? And as a human being, through that weakness, there will be strength. Jesus sees my weakness. He knows where I'm weak. And he knows I'm headed straight for it. But if I leave him out of my life, it's not that he gives up on me. But if what if I give up on Jesus? Folks, over the years, I've had too many people come to me and let me know, well, prayer didn't work. Let me tell you something. Jesus does the work. Prayer is our means of communicating with him. What did you talk to him about it? Well, yeah, the last thing I did. I said, all we got left is prayer. Why, you sin-sick, hard-hearted Baptist, the only thing you had to begin with was prayer. That is your life. When you talk to the Lord, listen for the answer. For that answer surely will come. It's not getting the answer that bothers you. It's getting the answer you want to hear that really aggravates you. Lord, can I have multiple choice? No. There's a purpose for the struggle in my life. What if that purpose is Joey? Brother Larry is struggling, and he's struggling because Joey needs Brother Larry. What if I just ignore that? Then what have I done? I have caused Joey to miss a blessing, and I've caused the pastor to miss a blessing. Blessings come with sharing Jesus. And I'm not talking about taking the Bible and saying and beating Joey upside the head, big upside the head with that, and said, you need to get a little word in you. No, you need to get a love, little love in you, Christian. And you need to have concern. And you need to have a feeling within you of helping, not condemning, not condoning, not condemning, but sharing Jesus. Well, that sounds so simple, preacher. Well, I don't know. One day, ask Jesus about it. Ask him how simple it was to go to the cross for the sins of all creation. Does that even sound like it's simple to you? See, Jesus didn't just simply love me. Jesus loved me so much that he guaranteed me hell would never get a foothold on me. I'm guaranteed heaven. I'm born again. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, folks, until that happens in your life, you're in a mess. Will I back off of that message? No, because I love you. I care. I care about who you are, and I don't care where you're from. I care about the spirit that Christ has placed in you, and I care about those struggles that you're going through. Now, I might be rough and gruff sometimes. I am rough and gruff sometimes. But, folks, it's because I love. And I know that life is going to come at you, and it's going to jump on you with all fours. But I know Jesus, who always has his hand out to reach you no matter where you are. Oh, Lord, I'm sinking in my own mess. Larry, you've always sunk in your own mess. Why do you keep making them? But do you know, not one time in my life, not one, has Jesus not showed up with love. When he pulled me out of that ditch of life, I guarantee every time he pulls me out, you know, you're still going around the curves of life, and you're still flying in the ditch. You noticed it? Well, then I'll talk to the Lord later. Folks, you're not guaranteed later. Why do you want to be miserable now? Ask God to come in and give you that direction. Fact four, the final fact. Trusting God produces his good results. See, God produces only good results in your life. But you got to trust him to do it. His mind is not our mind. Our mind is not his mind. I must trust him because he understands me. I don't even understand me. But Jesus understands me. Therefore, I trust that it is Jesus that is going to pull me through this. And to give me his good results, not my good results. Gosh, don't try to take over. Please allow the Lord to touch your life and to make the difference in your life, and quit thinking that you can tell him what he needs to do to make your life better. If you knew it, you would have done it. If you could do it on your own power, you would have. If you could have saved yourself by your own power, Jesus would not have come. If the blood of goats and animals, if those could have saved you, by you offering it to God, Jesus would not have come. But he said, there's nothing in that blood. There's only one blood. Listen, Christian, you and I are blood kin. We're blood related. Jesus gave me a blood transfusion. That blood is awesome. Oh, a good friend of ours, the Pretty Family and all, is in revival down in Franklin Crossroads, Joe Murray. And Joe Murray, one of his favorite sayings was, A Christian ought to live so close to the Lord that he can swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk singing Amazing Grace. And I always thought, well, you'd have to be in the country to understand what a rotten corn stalk's about. Then he said this. I always loved this one. Christian ought to walk so close to the Lord that when a mosquito bites him, you can hear him humming, "There's power in the blood," as he flies away. Isn't that a great one? See, that's the closeness with Jesus. There's where the power is. Listen to his word. Job 13:15. Listen to Job. Woo! I'm proud of Job. I'm glad I didn't have to be that part of my life that Job had. Job 13:15. Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job said, "Boys, friends of mine who keep condemning me, I did not do what you're charging me with, but though God slay me, yet will I trust in him." And boy, the Lord came down big time, remember? Job said to his friend, "That's my boy there. That's my man, Job." Not one time did he bring one railing accusation against God foolishly. Listen to Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." We know that. God says, "I have a calling for you." God says, "Life is my purpose." God says, "You are in my purpose. I purposefully made sure you're breathing. I was attempted to be aborted, but it didn't work. I'm what's left of it. What you see is all you're getting from it. But I guarantee you, God was right there on the spot. God paid attention. And Larry Pete was born. And Larry Pete was called to preach God's word. And Larry Pete, as long as he has a voice and can stand, will continue to preach God's word. Life struggles, they're there. But Jesus is too. He always wins. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation, the blessings of life, the peace that only you can give. Touch each of us now, Father, as we look at our own individual struggles and give you praise that we, Heavenly Father, always lift you up, you first. In Jesus' name we ask these blessings. Amen. You all will be getting information from me this week, whether I will be broadcasting in the sanctuary every Sunday, unless the law enforcement says close it out. I will be preaching, broadcasting from here. If they do that, I'll be broadcasting from a radio station. I will be preaching God's word. Now, whether you can come or not come, I understand that. Use common sense. As I told you, with the few we have here today, I give you your own pew. It don't have to be 6 foot. You got very big. We comfortably hold 300 people in this sanctuary. Comfortably. According to how big they are. Comfortably hold 300 people. We ain't hitting close to that, people. Therefore, if you want to come, we'll give you a pew.